In yet another chapter of our endless saga of human folly, a ghost ship from the depths of Lake Michigan has been found after 140 years. Because apparently, even the lake is tired of keeping secrets. The F.J. King, a wooden schooner that met its watery grave in 1886, has finally been located by researchers who are probably wondering why they bothered at all. This maritime relic went down during a storm when its seams gave way like America's infrastructure in an election year. Captain William Griffin and his crew watched their livelihood disappear beneath the waves from the safety of a yawl boat, because nothing says, "We're screwed," quite like watching your ship sink bow first into oblivion. The Wisconsin Underwater Archaeology Association, armed with sonar technology and perhaps some misplaced optimism, stumbled upon this elusive wreck off Bailey's Harbor. It turns out the ship was only half a mile away from where it was supposed to be, proving once again that sometimes you just need to look slightly to the left to find what you're missing. Rick Mixter, a shipwreck researcher who apparently still finds joy in these discoveries despite everything else going on in the world, called it thrilling. Why we're thrilled about uncovering relics of past disasters while ignoring current ones remains one of life's little mysteries. Meanwhile, Lake Michigan itself sits atop over 200 undiscovered wrecks, a veritable seabed graveyard for those who dared traverse its waters back when shipping traffic was as chaotic as today's political landscape. The Great Lakes boast more shipwrecks per square mile than any other body of water on Earth because if there's one thing we're good at, it's losing things we shouldn't have had in the first place. But let's not get too excited about this so-called golden age for shipwreck discoveries. Sure, clearer waters courtesy of invasive quagga mussels have made visibility better, but at what cost? These mollusks have turned our lakes from murky green cesspools into clear blue abysses where forgotten dreams and sunken hopes now rest in high definition. And then there's technology, the great equalizer that ensures anyone with $10,000 can play underwater archaeologist. Side-scan sonar used to be a luxury. Now it's practically an impulse buy next to your grocery store checkout line. So here we are, uncovering ghosts while ignoring living nightmares. Perhaps one day we'll map all these wrecks by 2030 as planned by NOAA's ambitious project. Until then, let's keep searching for sunken ships while everything else continues sinking around us.
Of Dancing with the Stars, the show where celebrities trade their dignity for sequins and a shot at a mirror ball trophy, this week, Robert Irwin, son of the legendary crocodile hunter, has decided to swap wrestling crocodiles for cha-cha chas. Because nothing says following in your father's footsteps like tangoing in tight pants, Robert's thrilled about this full circle moment. You know, from watching his sister Bindi win season 21 to now competing himself, it's the kind of family tradition that really tugs at the heartstrings. Or maybe that's just the rhinestones on those outfits. He mentions flying straight from catching crocs in Australia to dancing in Hollywood. Imagine that jet lag. One minute you're knee-deep in mud, next you're knee-deep in spray tan and glitter. It's basically Survivor meets Strictly Ballroom, a cultural exchange program nobody asked for, and let's not overlook his comment about not knowing what's scarier, crocodiles or West Hollywood. Well, Robert, one's got sharp teeth and unpredictable mood swings, and the other's a crocodile. But here's where it gets serious. Robert wants to bring passion and energy into his performances. Passion, energy, on reality TV? What is this, a talent show or an episode of National Geographic? Folks, these are what we call first world problems, when your biggest worry is whether you'll follow up wrangling reptiles with waltzing well enough to impress Len Goodman. Meanwhile, most people just hope their Wi-Fi doesn't cut out while streaming last week's episode. So here's to Robert Irwin. Proving that you can take the boy out of Australia, but you can't take away his ability to make us question our life choices as we sit on our couches eating chips while he dances for survival among disco balls and judges who never smile.
Ah, the sweet irony of celebrating freedom by shackling it. Welcome to 2025, where museums are being gently nudged, or perhaps bulldozed, into a new era of selective memory. President Donald Trump, freshly reelected and seemingly nostalgic for the history books that gloss over unpleasant details, has set his sights on America's hallowed halls of history. The Smithsonian, once a bastion of knowledge and truth-telling, now finds itself under scrutiny for daring to acknowledge that not all chapters in our national story are filled with sunshine and rainbows. In a move reminiscent of an Orwellian rewrite, Trump's administration has declared war on what they deem an overemphasis on difficult subjects like slavery. Because why dwell on past injustices when we can bask in the glow of American exceptionalism? After all, who needs a full historical picture when you can have the highlights? Real? The president's directive is clear. Celebrate success, brightness, and the future. But let's skip over those pesky parts about oppression or systemic inequality. They're such downers. Instead, let's focus on how wonderful everything is, now that we've conveniently forgotten how we got here. Experts warn that this approach risks erasing vital pieces of our collective identity and stalling progress. But fear not. The White House assures us they're simply restoring truth and sanity to American history. Because nothing says sanity like ignoring reality. Museum-goers across America apparently disagree with this sanitized version of history. They want the whole story, warts and all. Not just a Disneyfied fantasy land where everyone lived happily ever after without any struggles or strife. Meanwhile, museum leaders vow to stand their ground against these censorship efforts. They remind us that understanding our past, both its triumphs and its tragedies, is crucial for making informed decisions today. Yet as pressure mounts from above to conform to a narrative that's more palatable than factual, one can't help but wonder if we're witnessing the beginning of a cultural lobotomy. So as museums brace themselves against this tide of revisionism, remember, it's not about erasing history. It's about choosing which parts we get to keep telling ourselves were real. And in this brave new world of alternative facts and curated memories, who knows what truths will be left standing when the dust finally settles?
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we take a moment to ponder the grand absurdity of human existence, one tragic headline at a time. Today, we're examining an article from CNN titled, "Mississippi University Student Found Hanging on Campus with No Signs of Foul Play, but Family Raises Questions." A title that sounds like it was pulled straight from a dystopian novel. If only our reality were so fictional. Now let's talk about Trey Reed, a 21-year-old student whose life ended in circumstances that have left us all scratching our heads and questioning the very nature of justice and truth. Found hanging near pickleball courts, because nothing screams existential dread quite like juxtaposing tragedy against a sport that's the love child of tennis and ping pong, his death is shrouded in mystery. The authorities are diligently investigating, which is comforting until you remember that investigations often resemble those endless loops of bureaucratic purgatory where answers go to die. The university president has asked for patience and compassion as they navigate this sensitive situation. But really, isn't patience just another word for waiting indefinitely while trying not to lose your mind? And compassion, well, that's what we cling to when logic fails us entirely. This incident stirs up Mississippi's dark history of racial violence, a reminder that while time marches forward, some shadows refuse to fade. It's almost poetic how history manages to repeat itself with such dedication, as if it's auditioning for an eternal role in humanity's never-ending tragicomedy. Family members seek transparency, as if clarity were something easily obtainable in this foggy landscape we call life. They've even retained civil rights attorney Ben Crump, because when you're faced with existential uncertainty, why not bring in someone who's made a career out of wrestling meaning from chaos? Meanwhile, investigators assure us there are no signs of foul play. But isn't life itself the ultimate game without rules or referees? We stumble around looking for patterns where none exist and then act surprised when things don't make sense. In the end, we're left with more questions than answers, an apt metaphor for existence itself. Why do bad things happen? Why do good people suffer? And why does it always seem like pickleball courts are involved? As we ponder these mysteries during the existential crisis hour, remember, life may be absurdly complex and sometimes deeply unfair, but at least it's consistently unpredictable. So keep asking questions. Just don't expect them all to be answered anytime soon or ever. And there you have it. Another episode dedicated to exploring life's most perplexing dilemmas through dry humor and irony, because sometimes laughter really is the best way to cope with the absurdity of it all.
In a capitalist fever dream, integrity melts like ice cream under an unrelenting sun. Jerry Greenfield, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's, has finally thrown in the towel. His departure, a poignant reminder that even idealism becomes another casualty in the merciless pursuit of profit. Once upon a time, two men churned their values into each pint they crafted. But now, those values are nothing more than relics buried beneath corporate red tape. Jerry's exit from the company he birthed with Ben Cohen is a bitter pill to swallow. The very essence of Ben & Jerry's was its audacious willingness to speak out on social and political issues, a rare breed in a landscape dominated by bottom lines and shareholder returns. But when Unilever acquired the brand back in 2000, they promised autonomy for these spirited founders, a promise as hollow as the corporate apologies that followed every betrayal. The rift between Ben & Jerry's and its British overlord widened over years, culminating in clashes over geopolitical disputes and domestic policies alike. When Ben & Jerry's took a stand against selling its products in occupied Palestinian territories, it became clear that values had no place at Unilever's table unless they served profit margins. The backlash was swift. Israel cried foul while Unilever scrambled to silence dissenting voices within its ranks. Lawsuits ensued. Ben & Jerry's claimed censorship over posts supporting Palestinian refugees and criticizing military aid to Israel. Even mentions of climate change or universal health care were muzzled if they dared brush against President Donald Trump's administration. It seems speaking truth to power is only commendable until it threatens the balance sheets. Unilever dismisses these claims with polished PR statements, while Magnum Ice Cream Company, the new overseer, tries to smooth things over with platitudes about strengthening values-based positions. Yet their actions betray them. Independence is not merely curtailed, but extinguished altogether. Greenfield's resignation statement drips with disillusionment. Standing up for justice has never been more important. He laments as his voice fades into obscurity amidst political turmoil and civil rights regression under Trump's renewed reign. His heart may break at leaving behind what once stood for so much more than just ice cream, but capitalism demands sacrifices on its altar of endless growth. As we witness this unraveling saga unfold like some twisted morality play where conscience battles commerce only to be crushed beneath gilded wheels, it becomes glaringly evident. In this dystopian marketplace ruled by quarterly earnings, reports rather than ethical considerations or human decency, the costliest ingredient remains one's soul.